Dak Prescott, the poise that he has shown, the fourth round pick, has been what stood out to me. To his left, end zone. Touchdown, Butler. How about the kid, Dak Prescott?
Hell of a job, and only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
So we are here for another episode of the Stars Align Show, episode 209 here, and we just got done watching the Pittsburgh Steelers and Dallas Cowboys rivalry renewed, and this game actually meant a lot to me when I first started watching football, first started liking the Cowboys. It was the Cowboys-Steelers Super Bowl 96 that I watched as an 8-year-old kid and just picked one. And, you know, the announcers and everything were kind of up on Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman and all them. So I just picked one and rolled with them, and it's been an obsession ever since. And I've hated Pittsburgh ever since because they have the most titles. And it's from there. So this game game was a bit on the scary side for me. I was really nervous all week about our coverage on Antonio Brown. I mean, being the best receiver in football, having Big Ben back, Pittsburgh very rarely loses at home. They're like Green Bay at home. And you know, he killed us. He torched us today. But you know what? It's okay because the offense did their job and played well against a beat-up Pittsburgh defense. And, you know, I just – this team to me, Dustin, just seems like destiny to me. It seems like the games that we have lost, even in the 2014 season, the games that we have lost late in the game because of stupid mistakes or failure to execute or whatever the reason may be, are games we're winning this year, games that we're pulling out and closing out late. And, you know, albeit it was a face mask that got us where we needed to be. But a lot of missed calls by the refs on both sides. A lot of teams got away with a lot. But it ends up being the face mask gets us in the Dan Bailey range, although I'm fully confident Dan Bailey could basically hit a kick from the midfield logo, but that's besides the point.
I think that stadium is tough with the wind, man. That's why I was still nervous before that Zeke run. It would have been like a 40. It would have been well within his range, but it would have been anything but a guarantee. I'll say that.
True. But I was saying, listen, you know, I don't care about style points. Run the ball with Zeke. Get maybe 5 yards, whatever you need to get. Just make it a little closer for him. And then, you know, we'll have 20 whatever seconds or 18 seconds, whatever it is, to play defense. And it ended up being a touchdown, and they needed a touchdown instead of needing a field goal, and the rest is history. So I think another big story about this was the 4 2-point conversions that Pittsburgh missed, 4 of them. And I mean that would have been that's enough for a full touchdown almost. It is a full touchdown without the extra point right there. So in fact it's more than it's more than that. 2, 4, 6, 8. So that's 8 points right there. So they left a lot on the field. And you know, I think that's something that they're going to look at, but hey, I'll take it at this point. You know, I think top to bottom, we didn't play our best game, but we did enough. And right now, we're, you know, bring on Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not on the destiny train. I don't know. I've never really been a fan of a team that I've had unlimited confidence in, to the point where I just think, you know, all this thing's in the bag. You know, with basketball for me, it's the Nets, and they've been anything but a sure thing, even back in the glory days with Jason Kidd. And you know, football has been the Cowboys. So I just feel like it was what I liked the most about this was the fact that we were able to overcome shooting ourselves in the foot multiple times. I mean, the first drive of the game, it visibly rattled us. I mean, the O-line was so out of sync. It was ridiculous. I don't know what the hell was going on with the O-line. The amount of penalties we had, it was so uncharacteristic of, quote-unquote, the best offensive line in football. And then you got Dak getting, you know, hit from behind and then basically, you know, just giving them the ball with the fumble. And that was a huge momentum swing. And it's kind of weird. you don't really have momentum swings on the first possession of the game, but it was like the energy was sucked out of us and immediately in every single Pittsburgh Steeler in that stadium. So the fact that Dak loses the first possession, we go down. The fact that we kept the two-point conversion from happening, which enabled – it basically kept it from being 8-0 to 6-0. And then the fact that we were able to just overcome 98 penalty yards, 10 penalties for 98 yards. They had
we had the same amount of penalty yards. We had the same amount of penalty yards as Zeke did rush yards. If that makes any sense to you. I mean, that's crazy.
So he only – really? He finished with 98
Well, no, I'm
yards?
Just saying – I'm rounding somewhere, but I'm just saying it's
114 rushing yards on 21 attempts, 2 touchdowns, and then he had a good chunk – he had 95 receiving for that with that screen pass. That was a big, big, big play.
Which
but,
was also
you know,
huge too, yeah.
Yeah. The first half, man, was – very disappointing to me. I felt like you take away that Zeke screen pass, which was a broken play, and we looked like we didn't belong to be there. You know, we didn't belong there. We were not even remotely a threat to the Steelers in the first half. Then I don't know what happened. I don't know if Garrett said something. I don't know if it was just them waking up, but second half was a different story.
Which, you know, the last couple of years have been the complete polar opposite. We have been one of the best teams in football the first half of games, and then seemingly collapse in the second half. Shoot ourselves in the foot with dumb penalties, let up big chunk yardage, things like that, and you know, now it's a reversal. And I would much rather have a team turn it on late than I would, you know, be very, very, very good in the first half and fizzle out. Just like when you're looking at playoffs in sports, you know, teams who have huge first halves of their seasons and then fizzle out late, I would much rather, you know, get your wheels under you and get hot late, you know, than I would
Chris,
be good
I would
early.
I would much rather be a consistent team that just plays well the whole game and doesn't
me too, of course.
Only having a half this, half that. I would much rather
finish
strong.
I think anybody would. I'm just saying if this is going to be the trend, I would much rather have it be in the second half than the first.
Yeah, I freaking hope it's not because eventually they're going to shoot themselves in the feet so much that they can't overcome it. You know, I mean.
I fear.
When that Roethlisberger fake spike happened, I was like, in my head, I'm like, I understood the situation. I understood we had 3 timeouts, 42 seconds, but I was like, if there was any other, you know, reason for us to be just done, it was that. You know, when something like that happens to you, that's going to be on ESPN. That'll be on a highlight reel. That's how you lose a game on a play like that. It was a trick play, and it was thrown and played to perfection. These guys didn't even look at each other. They just knew what they were going to do, and that was as good as it was going to get. And at that moment, the Steelers gave us everything they had, and we were able to withstand it and win and overcome.
Well, let me ask you, if we had Romo in the game, even the way Dak has been playing and whatnot, if we had Romo in the game, would you have felt more confident there or no?
Oh, yeah, man, because
okay.
how many times has Romo done that for us? Romo's let us down the field, you know, numerous times. Now, whether or not we get that 25% chance where he throws the pick to end the game, or we get the 75% chance that he leads us down for at least a field goal, that's you know, different guys, different everything, different throw deliveries, different confidence in your teammates. You know, I mean, everything changes with these two guys, which is what is very interesting to me. You know, everything's firing on all cylinders. Now, would the outcome of the game been different? I'm not so sure.
You know,
you look at the box score, look at it, right? It's 22 for 32, 319 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He had the fumble, which was a turnover. I mean, you got Elliott tearing it up, 100 plus yards on 20 attempts. That would have been consistent. Dez, finally, 6 receptions, 116 yards, 1 TD. You know, Witten, 60 yards, Beasley, only 30. I just don't know, man. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, or I don't know if it would have been pretty damn close. If I had to guess, I don't think if Romo was in the game, we would have lost for sure. I think he would have put up similar numbers. 300 yards, a couple touchdowns, playing everything safe. Sure. Do I think there would have been a turnover on a fumble?
I think
fumble?
He would have taken more shots down the field. He would have taken more chances. That's just how he is. But, you know, I think that with Romo in the game, yeah, I think, you know, the veteran, the gunslinger, you know, gives you an opportunity. I think the play calling would have been different. Although I know one thing we talked about early in the season was, when are they going to open up this playbook to Dak? Well, I mean, they opened it up. I mean, Dak went down the field to Dez, and even though Dez understood the damn thing, still was able to hang in the catch and go from there. But, I mean, Dak throws a pretty ball. I mean, he's definitely accurate. And it seems like always makes the right decision. I mean, all of Dak's interceptions this year, well, I shouldn't say all of them, only it was two of his interceptions this year were kind of bad throws, but they weren't like great. Like, what are you doing? Because sometimes you get with Tony. So, I mean, he always makes the right decision. Very smart guy. But I think that when you've got a running back core like what they have in Ezekiel, what they have in Morris, you don't have to worry about making those gunslinger throws. You don't have to worry about, you know, forcing the ball and things like that. Those are just things that don't become part of your game. And I think that, you know, part of me is flip-flopping here, because after what I saw with how we covered Antonio Brown today, part of me is like, man, you know, I really wish we took, you know, Ramsey, Jalen Ramsey, you know, in corner and addressed the secondary for the first time in 10 years. But, you know, but then part of me is like, you know, I'm pretty damn glad we got beat also. You know, so I mean, I think we're good. I think we're pretty much guaranteed the playoffs now, for the most part, with a relatively easy schedule coming up. Baltimore is next, and then Washington on Thanksgiving, followed by Minnesota. So I really, really feel like this team, this is probably the best chance that they've had to take a ring. And, you know, I'm getting all these Giants fans. For those of you who are listening, who may live in New York, I do live in upstate New York, and I get all these Giants fans, oh, well, you know, you still haven't beat us. You know, oh, yeah, you're 8-1, but who's your one loss to? And, you know, Giants fans just being salty, just being bitter. But right now I think we're far and away a better team than the New York Giants.
That's such a, like, that's a joke. Giants are fucking garbage. The fact that we lost to them in the first place was just an eyesore. It's the shit streak on our underwear is what it is. That one loss because Terrence Williams didn't get out of bounds. So, I mean, it's whatever.
Pretty much, yeah.
I just call it a loss. I'm sick and tired of talking about it. I'm sick and tired of saying because Terrence Williams didn't get out of bounds. Yeah, we lost to the Giants. They're a garbage team. We were more garbage that week. So that's what happens. You win some, you lose some. Unfortunately, we're not going to go undefeated this year. But I certainly do love watching a team like the Minnesota Vikings, who are apparently the greatest team in the NFC, fall apart over the last 4 weeks. So that's enjoyable to me. I'm a little bummed out that the MVP in waiting, Matty Ice, simply just shit his pants today against the freaking Eagles. So this is the guy you're going to give the MVP award to, a guy that couldn't even beat the freaking Eagles, who's just a stat sheet stuffer, not a kid who's coming in and taking over a team in the hardest position in football and leading them to an 8-1 record. But whatever, you know, everybody can keep passing up on Prescott. Everybody can keep passing up Ezekiel Elliott for MVP because they want to give it to cheaters like Tom Brady and stat sheet stuffers like Matty Ice. But that's fine. That's fine with me.
Teams like this, like you look at our last couple of games, right? 28 against Cincinnati, okay? But we have 28, 30, 29, 35, and 35, okay? I mean, this team is rolling offensively right now. It's not like we're winning, you know, it's not like we're winning 13-10, you know, 16-13, 9-6. Yeah, we are actually putting up a lot of points, and that's good to see as well. Because, you know, I think really the mind frame of this team was, okay, let's just go out there and be 500 for when Tony gets back and make a push for the playoffs. I mean, nobody expected this. Nobody expected Dak to be anything but serviceable. And obviously now the last couple of weeks, all anybody's been talking about is Romo ever going to get his job back? Yes, I think he is. He only has a couple more years left anyway.
He's not going to get it back with the Cowboys, I don't think, because it was just reported yesterday and confirmed today that Stephen Jones said that Romo told him he was willing to accept the backup QB job and let Dak keep going as long as he's beating him out in practice for the job every day. So Romo has flat out said, I'm going to do what's best for the team. I'll take the back seat. And as long as he's out playing me and you're confident in starting him and he looks better than me every week in practice, that's fine with me. I'll hold the clipboard. So I don't know. I think Romo's done with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, then let me ask you, what does that do then for our argument of, you know, Tony Romo being, you know, a good quarterback, Tony Romo being on paper the best Cowboy quarterback, at least if you line up the resumes? What does that do if the Cowboys do win the Super Bowl this year? I know we got a long way to go and a lot of football left to play, but if they do end up pulling it out this year and Romo does get his ring, even though he's not the one directly who got it for them,
it won't be the same.
What does that do for
it doesn't do anything. It just, he's the greatest Dallas Cowboys quarterback statistically. That's it. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. He's not going to be a, I don't know. He is a franchise quarterback, but he will not be as great and as revered as he should be because Dak will be the guy leading the ship. Tony could hang out and take a pay cut and go down to $5 million, and Dak could lead us to, let's say, 3 straight Super Bowls. So that gives Romo 3 rings, and all those stats still doesn't mean crap. Because just because you get a Super Bowl ring as a backup doesn't mean anything. There are probably backup position players out there that got 3 rings with the Patriots when they went 3 or 4 years, but we don't talk about them because they're really not good players. They just were along for the ride. So when you're along for the ride, you don't get any credit. You get nothing. You may get a shout out during the speech, the MVP speech, like, yeah, you know, I couldn't have done it without Tony. He sat and he was with me in the classrooms every day, blah, blah, blah. Or Peyton Manning. I couldn't have done it out without Jordan, whatever his name is, Matthews or something. I forget the guy that on Denver that he said was a special team player who just had a crazy catch again today too. Jordan something. He's like, I couldn't have done it without Jordan, who stayed with me after, you know, every day and took some extra reps with me, blah, 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 blah. Those are the guys that they get that shout out, but they ain't going to the Hall of Fame. They're not that player. So I think realistically it's time for everybody to start realizing that Tony is done as a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. And it's going to be a very interesting off season because I don't know if Jerry would trade him with it's kind of hard to explain. Like, Jerry would approach Tony and say, we got to move forward with Dak. I thank you for everything you've done for us. What do you want to do? Do you want me to field offers present you with those offers and then you tell me where you want to go, or are you going to retire a Dallas Cowboy? And I think if he presented that to Tony, according to stories that have been all over the place, I think he would retire a Cowboy this offseason. I think he would be done. Now, if he's the competitor that I think he is, and if he is truly healthy enough to go more, I think he'll go somewhere and play one or two more seasons. But I don't know.
Sort of like what Emmitt Smith did with Arizona, kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's what everybody did. Montana with Kansas City. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of great players that moved on. Peyton Manning with the Denver Broncos. You know? So, I think that it's the flip of a coin. And I think I could say this. I could say that Tony winning a Super Bowl this year as a backup might be enough for him to walk away from the game. But then I could also say him knowing that he didn't do it himself might eat away at him and force him to want to keep playing and win a ring himself. So
well,
I could see it going both ways.
Go here. Well, I do. I don't see that that way. I mean, about 8 minutes left to go in the live show anyway, and then we might go a little bit over depending on where the conversation takes us. But 713-955-0359, if you do want to ring in, blow us up, hit us up on the Twitter, email at Stars Align Show. You can hit us up there. But my thing, do you think – I brought this scenario up, I think it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but do you foresee – a Peyton Manning situation from last year. Remember how Brock Osweiler played the whole season? Peyton comes in for the second half of the year, the last, I think, three games or so of the regular season, leads him through the playoffs, wins the Super Bowl, and rides off into the sunset. Do you see a Peyton Manning type of situation where Tony gets
no.
his ring, Tony plays in the Super Bowl,
no.
and he actually has the ability to say, I went out and played in the game and won that Super Bowl?
I don't see that because – I don't think that Dak is as shitty as Brock Osweiler. I think Brock Osweiler was pulled for Peyton because Brock Osweiler couldn't even match Peyton mentally, let alone physically, at half his age. You know, Peyton came back and was a shell of Peyton Manning, but yet he was still better than Brock Osweiler. Now, Dak, on the other hand, is much more athletic than Tony at this point in his career, is probably, let's say, 60% intellect, you know, with mm-hmm. Tony, like maybe he's got 60% of the NFL mind that Tony has. So they're thinking, well, we got more out of him physically. He's with the mental aspect of it. This is really on us to coach this kid up, and we could do this. So I think what I really don't think it's anything like the Peyton Manning situation. It's nothing like it. Peyton Manning was a Super Bowl champion, is a surefire Hall of Famer, and was arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play in the game. You have that guy coming back, I don't care. It could have been Tony as Brock Osweiler, and he's getting benched for Peyton Manning to end that year. So it's nothing like that. It's not even close to being the same situation.
And, you know, I personally – I look at it as I don't think Peyton Manning won. I'm not crediting that Super Bowl to him. I'm doing the same thing I do with Eli and saying, you know what? Peyton came out on a bad, well, I don't want to say a bad Colts team because they won a Super Bowl, but he came out and led an average Colts team over an average Bears team in one of the worst Super Bowls I've seen in a while and won it himself. He did, sure, in the rain and in the bad weather. Then he came out, threw the pick six, lost to the Saints, and then he rode his defense with the Broncos to a second Super Bowl, just like Eli rode his defense to two of them that he won. So
isn't he two for four? Isn't he two for four and not
so.
Two for three? So what's the other one that you forgot in that monologue?
Is he two? Oh, the Denver Broncos blowout to Seattle. Yeah. So
there it is.
I mean, but that's not even one that I'm just forgetting that even happened. That was also.
But that was the year he broke the record for 55 touchdown passes. So for him to have been shut down
and then
that
didn't
bad,
have a touchdown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For him to have been shut down that bad in the biggest game, I mean, that's brutal. But I think he deserves a lot more credit than you're giving him in that final year, because he's the guy that was making all the calls at the line. They still allowed Peyton to be Peyton, you know, and he was the guy that checked into run plays when he dissected the defenses he was playing against. So whatever. To
now
each his own, I guess.
I know you hate a lot of teams Dallas plays. And you know, I know obviously everybody in the NFC East. What is your opinion regarding Pittsburgh? Does it feel a little bit sweeter beating the Steelers?
I mean, it's a good, tough win. Like, this was a win that will tell you who you are as a football team. This is a win that defines you as a football team. This was a gritty. It was back and forth. It was never comfortable, and you pulled it out. So this, by far, was our toughest game of the year. I mean, this kills the Packers. This kills the Eagles. This kills this was our toughest game of the year. Next week, I think, is going to be a little bit of a trap game against the Ravens, because even though they made the Browns look like a goddamn playoff contender this past week, I think that the Ravens are still a quality football team with a great coach in Harbaugh. So I think the Ravens will be tough. But I think the Steelers were the best team in this entire schedule. Now that I'm looking at it, I think they were by far the best team.
I would say so.
Just because they're 4-4 does not mean that they are not the playoff contending Pittsburgh Steelers. They're the same team. They've had some bumps in the road. They will be a playoff team, whether people want to admit it or not. There's still plenty of football to go, and the AFC is dog shit weak. It's so easy. So they'll be in there, and they'll be a contender for sure. But I don't know, man. Look at
just
the
go over
the
remaining
the schedule.
Schedule here. We got Baltimore next week, okay, at home. It's a home game. Then then we have the short week, home game on Thanksgiving against the Washington Redskins, who looked pretty good today. Then at Minnesota, at New York Giants, home against Tampa Bay, home against Detroit, and then home against Philly to end the season.
Yeah, I personally don't see where we're losing. Do you?
The only game I can see us dropping, unfortunately, I'm going to say, well, the way that we've struggled to stop the pass, the way that we've struggled against teams who can really air it out, I see Detroit being a bit of a problem with Matt Stafford, because for some reason, other than a playoff game where we got a cheap penalty that actually it was a no call that should have been a penalty. We just can't beat Detroit. I don't know why. But yeah, I mean, the Bucks should be an easy one. Eagles, we've already taken care of. Giants, we know who they are. The Vikings, it's at home. I mean, it's a home game for the Vikings. So that's going to be tough, but I think we can do that with them. And then, Washington, the Redskins are always tough. They always play us tough on Thanksgiving, but really, no, Baltimore, I don't think Baltimore's good at all. I don't see us going 15-1 just because that would be crazy to think the way that the league has been going. But, yes, there is not a team on this schedule that we can't beat, put it that way, that there's not
a team that we can't beat. I think the likely loss is the Thanksgiving game against the Redskins, and the reason why I say it is because it's 4 days after the Ravens game. So it's a hyper short week. I mean, we just played an emotional game. We're going to play on the 20th against the Ravens and then the 24th against the Redskins.
And then you're in back-to-back.
Yeah, you're back-to-back Thursday games. So that, you know, I just don't know. I think, you know, without jinxing it, I think we have the ability to go 14-2, dropping that game to the Redskins and beating everybody else. But who knows? We'll see. I mean, I'm impressed, man. This is one hell of a game, and that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, and you know, I'm excited about it for once. I haven't had much to be excited about for this Cowboys team, because even in 2014, I was confident that we had a shot, but I didn't feel the same way I feel now. Like right now, it feels like this team just can't lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, I mean, knock on wood, but it just feels like this team, like I said in the beginning of the show, almost is like his destiny. I mean, this was a game that, for like, we had no business winning this game, the way that they came down the field and scored there, and we ended up pulling it off. 42 seconds, rookie quarterback, two running plays, big running plays. I this was a game that Pittsburgh did what they needed to do to win and still didn't get a win. So, this is a game that, like you said, really showed us who we are, and I'm happy about that, and I'm happy about the fact that we got the win. And, again, I had to step outside. It's not, I'm not on my mic because I had people over, and it's kind of loud, so that's why I'm on a phone here. So do apologize for any quality issues. But you know what? It's all good, and it really doesn't matter to me because the Dallas Cowboys are 8-1, hoping tonight to have the best record in football, at least for 1 week. So we're going to leave it at that. Bring on Baltimore next week in their bright purple jerseys, and Cowboys have a home game, 8-1.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah!